This is an ABC podcast.
Cane growers and millers are being urged to dramatically change tack if the industry is to win back the hearts and minds of consumers who have switched off to sugar. Catherine Tay is the founder of FutureEye, credited as being one of the world's leading social license consultancies. She's been working with the industry to help it assess the gap between what the experts perceive as its risk and what the community or, i.e., its consumers think. And she told me if the industry continues to dogmatically defend itself without acknowledging some risks to some sections of the community, it may end up doing more harm than good to its reputation.
Well, the defensive approach to say sugar can be part of a balanced diet says to people that you don't really empathise, care about, worry about the product stewardship requirements for people with diabetes, heart disease, and obesity. So on the other hand, if you were an industry that was very responsible and very concerned about safety of the community and people who are actually using your product in the wrong way is extremely dangerous, not just for the person who's doing it, but also for your industry. So you need to be what we call precaution advocates to people who are obese or with diabetes or heart disease. They are what we call the vulnerable communities. And if you focus on communicating to those vulnerable communities the importance of them managing their sugar intake so that they don't worsen their diseases, then, you know, the rest of the population who are healthy weight and don't have those diseases can be free to enjoy sugar, you know, in a balanced diet.
But if the sugar industry tries to narrow cast that message to the population that are affected by heart disease or obesity, doesn't that concede to the rest of the population that sugar is the problem?
Well, this is an interesting thing. I mean, the dynamic here, you know, you could actually call it in risk communication theory a seesaw. The dynamic here is the more responsibility that you actually take about issues that matter to those that it matters to, the less you amplify the worry to everybody else. It's a probability consequence seesaw. So if you take responsibility and care about those people and those concerns, then everybody else will go, oh, well, I'm not as worried as I would be if they didn't make those differentiations. And the reason is that it goes to how much it seems like you give a damn. I mean, think of your own personal life. If you've ever been at a party and someone was gave you a glass of red wine and they've got white carpet and you accidentally dropped it on the floor, there is absolutely no way when you've made a mistake like that that you would actually attack the host and say, well, it's your responsibility for giving me red wine and giving me white carpet. No one would do that in real life. No one would blame the host. And instead, they'd sort of blame themselves and say, oh, this is terrible. I'm very sorry. What can I do to address the issue? So this blame responsibility dynamic is clear to us at a personal level. But when it comes to something like sugar, which essentially is a product that you are hosting and providing to your guests, the consumer, has been in the past saying, hey, you got a problem with it? That's your problem. That's your fault. As opposed to, hang on a minute, I just want everyone to be aware of the risks for those of you that have heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. And if you focused on those people, then everyone else will go, oh, okay, well, you are taking responsibility and that's the best you can do. Now, a healthy person with no weight issues can go and enjoy a donut or a fizzy drink or a chocolate bar and be absolutely fine.
Catherine Tay, you are considered one of the world's leading social license consultants. Is it just about nuancing a PR spin, or is it actually, are you asking them to affect greater cultural change about the way that they are allowing themselves to be perceived in the public?
Yeah, I think it's a major cultural change because everyone wants to work in an industry that has meaning and has purpose to them. And as you know, there's cognitive dissonance if you are doing something that you actually don't like and you either get highly stressed and pressured about it or, you know, you have to go defend yourself over a barbecue. I mean, everyone hates that. So it's key that your own industry ends up with a social license for your own health and for your family's health and for the future of the industry. So the question here is, how how can you turn from an industry that you have to defend to an industry that you can be proud of? And I genuinely know from not just my experience, but the research that's been done and the strategy work that's been done at the board levels of the cane grower, the sugar millers, as well as the policy groups of the cane growers. If you put a strategy in place that addresses those issues and starts to partner and engage and actively deal with those specific communities that have problems, then the ordinary Australian without those problems is going to be far happier with the sugar industry and far more supportive of the sugar industry.
Where would you say the industry's at right now? Would you say that they're backed into a corner?
Well, this is an opportunity for the sugar industry. From our analysis, there is a risk that if the industry continues down the path of being defensive, that it will end up being targeted in an unfair way and perhaps even in a regressive taxation manner, which would not necessarily address the issues and also cost them. But the sorts of impacts that they are already feeling and have been happening for some time, which is that their customers are reformulating away from sugar. So what they're doing now is replacing things with sweeteners, and they're unknown, untested, and sometimes there's been various times where they've actually had to, due to cancer concerns and issues like that, dismiss a whole category of sweetener and then reformulate again. So here we have an industry that's natural. That is, the sugar industry is natural, and yet the sweetener is seen as a more palatable way of reformulating some of these products to get sweeteners in. And that in itself tells you something, doesn't it? Which is the brands that used sugar and prefer sugar and the consumers that prefer sugar are going to an alternative sweetener that is actually risky and, you know, made from chemicals. Gee, what's going on? There's something that needs to be fixed in order for it not to be an increasingly commercial risk, and also something needs to be fixed in relation to how governments and regulators perceive what needs to be done for the sugar industry or to the sugar industry in order to bring these risks under control.
Catherine Tay, leading consultant in social change. Thank you very much for having a yarn with the ABC here at the ISO conference in Cairns. It is the lunch break. I better let you go and get a cup of coffee because I think you're up to present next. One last question. Is it one teaspoon or two?
I actually have to say I'm a one or a half a teaspoon. I've been losing weight, 20 kilos so far, and been able to maintain between half and one teaspoon and lose weight.
So sugar is not the enemy.